Swanson.
And I'm Chris Watson, and you're
ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a new edition of Cupie Talk in the Maritimes. I am Nick, joined alongside my favorite brother, Mr. President of the New Brunswick Federation of Labor, Chris Watson. Chris, welcome to the show, man.
Good evening. Thank you for that new introduction. It still hasn't sunk in yet. You know, I'm still just me at Cupie Talk in the Maritimes, but let's get into this. It's been a while.
It has been a while. It has been 4 weeks, a little. I think it actually has been 5 weeks if you want to get right down to it. But, man, we got a lot of stuff going on. I mean, a lot of stuff, but right out of the chute, I feel like it's only right we hit this CUPW and everything going on there, because I don't know about you, but if I could say the word that starts with a P, I'm not happy about it. Man, what's going through your head with all this?
Yeah, no, it's just thinking, you know, the struggles and everything that those poor workers are going through. I think about my first time at our, you know, we talked about it a little bit in that interview that's coming up a little bit later on. But, you know, my very first rally, CUPW. Another rally I went to last time they were on strike, CUPW. And I went to another rally, CUPW. And then here we go again. So I've been to multiple rallies for CUPW workers while they try to fight for a fair collective agreement and protect health and safety. They fight against, you know, protecting full-time jobs, to, you know, from going to part-time to precarious. So they're just, it's fight after fight after fight for these members. So, you know, it's very important that we stand up and speak up and support these workers and protect our public postal service.
The fact that we are even having this conversation disgusts me. Because at the end of the day, everyone is entitled to one thing, the right thing. And all they want is some security. And with everything else that's going up around us, everyone deserves a little help.
That's right.
And as far as I'm concerned, people need to make calls. You need to let the government know that these people need to be back at a bargaining table with a fair collective agreement, get them what they deserve, and moving forward, Chris, I know where you and I are going to be should something happen. What does that look like to you? Like, are you feeling the same thing I am in the pit of your gut? Like, you know, we are not going to get this rectified beforehand. What do you think is the is going to happen here?
Well, can't predict a whole lot. I mean, it's one of those things. It's, we kind of wait and see. We know that the union asked for binding arbitration and the employer said no. So, you know, CUPW is doing everything in their power to try to rectify the situation and try to get a fair collective agreement. But one of the things we can do is if you go to websites, we did it at the thing, CUPW.ca, there's a campaign called Hands Off My Post Office where you can sign on to a letter. You just, you know, you click it, click the link, take action, sign it up, and it goes to your MP. So, and there's signs and stuff there. So again, even if you go to Google and just type in hands off my post office, it'll take you right to the link. But you know, going, doing stuff like that, to support these workers is very important.
Yeah, we can't make you guys do it, but I'm telling you, you're doing it for all the right reasons. And I know I've done it, and I will continue to show my support, solidarity. Everything that I am is with CPW right now. And Chris and I, you know, we're very fortunate because we have
platform. Hands off my post office.
That's right. And we have a platform, and you can bet your bottom dollar that we're going to keep talking about this because we know what is right, and CPW deserves respect, and they are amazing people, and I know this because I sit on the board with a few of them, and they are wonderful human beings, and they work hard, and they're not asking for a lot. So here's an idea. Maybe the government needs to get back to the table so we can get this fixed and get everyone happy and healthy and enjoying their day-to-day activities.
Absolutely. And one more thing, government else, the government needs to stop doing is using bills and legislation like Bill 107 and the Canada Labor Code and legislating workers back to work. You know, how about we just fix the issues, stay at the bargaining tables, hammer the deal out, and get this, you know, get it done. But legislating members back to work by using legislation, absolutely wrong. And the government should have been shamed for that.
I've said it before, and it's funny you say that, because in my interview that you're going to hear later, guys, you will hear that, where I actually challenge the government to do what's right. You know, hey, you guys say you want the best for Canadians. Well, what's best for the Canadians is that we get CPW back to table, and you guys honor that and work with them instead of against them for once, and we can get everything where it should be. Wouldn't hurt to try, but I challenge the government to do that because I think it's important, and I will not take that back. So, but you mentioned bills, and it would only be fitting that we would talk about Bill 17, the most outrageous bill I had ever heard of, and the amazing things a legislative pen can do, but the work of the labor movement and activists and strong-willed people can make a difference, and they did, Chris. Bill 17 is no more. Tell me that wasn't a victory for you on that day.
You know what? That was a huge victory for me. And some people might know it as Bill 12 as well. You know, Bill 12 was the bill to abolish the Bill 17. Huge victory. I mean, I sat up in that legislature for days and days on end. And let me tell you, that thing was built a long time ago, and it was not built for the comfort of the common folk, because sitting up there in that gallery, oh, man, it's so hard on the back and the behind, but it was worth it. It was worth sitting there every minute, you know, to keep that fight, and it was worth sitting there to hear the third reading go through, and I would do it all again for the members in a heartbeat.
It was a great day. It was a great day to be an activist. It was a great day to be that person who read it, listened to it, overheard it to your group of friends. It was just a great day for everybody here in the province of New Brunswick when a bill that should never have been written to begin with was no more.
Absolutely. I know we sat there blowing horns in the windows and driving around the building and honking our car horns and everything else, you know, because we weren't allowed in when different readings were going on. So, you know, hats off to everybody that played a part, you know, from just participating in those rallies to sitting in the legislature to even watching it online and taking an interest. You know, it's ultimately the members who are the driving force of solidarity. The leaders can only do so much. We need the members behind us. And let me tell you, the membership was behind the leadership. Excuse me. And we won. So, you know, a victory here in New Brunswick.
Solidarity, brother. Absolutely. It was a great victory. I literally got goosebumps just saying that. It was a huge victory for us. It would only be fitting that we would talk about your victory, because even though to you it hasn't fully sunk in yet, it has sunk in with me and hundreds of delegates that were there to witness it and cast a vote. And Brother Chris, you are the new president of the New Brunswick Federation of Labor, following, I'm going to call it greatness, Daniel Legere. I think I have to do that, because if the stories that everyone was telling, it hit you right here. It really did. It was one of the most beautiful things you would ever hear, and you're following him. And you are now the leader of the New Brunswick Federation of Labor. Brother, what did that mean to you, leading up to everything and then ultimately being announced as the new president?
It's just like I gave one of my speeches. I'm very humbled by the experience. You know, knowing that the members entrust you for the next 2 years to lead, the largest labor, the central labor body here in New Brunswick, forward is something that I take very serious. I do it with pride. I do it with passion. And, you know, following in the footsteps of our dear brother, Danny Legere, I take that as a tremendous amount of responsibility, because that man was one of the most respected men, I would say, in this province. I know he was one of the top 10 Francophones in this province, and his shoes can never be filled, but he has paved a path for labor in this province, and, you know, we just need to build on that path, and I'm committed to do that, and I'm committed to fight on in his legacy. But at the same time, I'm going to create my own path and create my own footsteps. Because that's what we do here in the province. So I'm really excited for the opportunity. We're talking CEPW. I get an email letter and everything all ready to go to the Canada Post Corporation denouncing everything that's going on and standing up in support. And that's what we're ready to do. We're ready to keep pushing forward as a federation and support all workers across this province, both public, private, international unions. We have some we have an international union now on our executive board, on our inner executive. We have public and private sector. We have good balance. We have a good mixture. And I'm just so excited for this 2 years. We got a lot of work to do, but, you know, we're going to get it done. And government should be forewarned. You know, we're a force to be reckoned with. You know, we're here to make the ground shake and move. So, you know, let's go.
I couldn't be more proud of you. Seriously, I mean that. I really mean that. We are going to take a break, but when we come back, we are going to have QPPEI's newly elected president, Ashley Clark, a very good friend to you and I and to the show, and somebody who has given us the utmost respect on the show. We're gonna take a listen to that. I know people are going to love it. And, hang tight. We're going to play some Higgins for you. A little bit of Charred Oak. Chris, you know all about Higgins.
100%. Having been at so many conventions and things lately, I've had a great time to talk to our brother Bob. And I want to give a shout out into Higgins Insurance. I know, you know, they're a sponsor and everything as well. But at the Federation of Labor Convention, they did make a donation of $2,500 for the Danny Legere Solidarity Scholarship. And the inner executive is going to be working on the criteria for that, hopefully here next week. And we're going to be getting that out. So thank you to Higgins for making that donation to the Federation of Labor in Danny's name as well.
Absolutely, brother. Let's take a quick break, and Ashley Clark is coming up next. Hey, Chris.
Nick, what's going on? What's with the saw?
I'm here to help remove the tree.
What tree?
The big tree that fell in the house.
That's the tree that I talked about on QP Talking the Maritimes?
Yeah, I called the boys, man. They're coming over to help me.
Oh, yeah.
We got you.
You have to call them and cancel that, because I've already been taken care of. That was 8 years ago.
Oh.
Yeah. Higgins Insurance. They already took good care of me. 8 years ago.
That's because there's a safety net for the unexpected.
Absolutely. They're there for when accidents happen. Call 506-849-7800, Pettengill Road, Quispam Sys. Higgins Insurance. They got you covered.
All right, guys, this is Nick from QP Talk and the Maritimes, and I am actually talking with the newly reelected Ashley Clark, president of QPPEI. Ashley, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me, Nick.
You know, we've never got to really sit down and chat. I know you did with Chris. You were in Fredericton during a lot of stuff, and Chris was able to sit and chat with you. I believe it was the Trade Summit. So, having the opportunity to do this, I'm very happy about it, and I feel very privileged. Coming out of a few weeks ago, you were reelected as president of QPPEI. How was that experience for you?
Yeah, well, it is very nice to actually get the chance to talk to you too. Handshakes and waves and convention halls, and that's been about it. So, yes, thanks for calling. And yeah, it was great. Convention season is wild, as you know. So it kind of, it was my first convention being up for election that I was also the president of at the time. So you kind of, you know, wearing both of those hats, it went by in a blur, but I was really, really honored to be successful in my reelection bid, and thankful to my QPPEI people for, you know, continuing to put their faith in me and work together for another 2 years. So I'm pumped.
I love your enthusiasm, and you know, when you talk, and even when I've spoken to other people in QPPEI who have just, they talk about you in such a positive light and the vibes that you bring to the table. What is that like, knowing that, you know, these, not only do they put their faith in you, they truly believe in you, and you are such a great leader. How is that for you, having that kind of positivity at you at all times?
Oh my God, that's hilarious. It's a good thing this is an audio recording, because I'm blushing. No, I mean, I am a passionate person. I have lots of opinions and I share them. So I'm glad that that's resonating with members, and that it comes across as, you know, as positivity. I mean, you know, a lot of the stuff that we do as union is positive. Like, it's the good vibes, the solidarity, and bringing people together. And we all have similar goals. So it's easy to, you know, get into that kind of good vibe energy. But we also hit a lot of struggles. And I think, yeah, I think approaching those common struggles with that positive energy helps us get through it, because it's really easy to spiral sometimes into despair when you're dealing with the kinds of things that, I mean, obviously in New Brunswick, you all know what it's like dealing with conservative government. We're still dealing with one here. So, you know, I'm glad to hear that you're, the rumors that you're hearing about me are that I'm positive energy, because I just, you have to be kind of in this job. You have to cling to those kinds of things and put your, you know, happy face forward sometimes, because yeah, you're dealing with great people who are all fighting the good fight. So yeah, I'm happy to be happy when I'm working with other QP activists.
Well, it's so funny, because when they talk about you, and I will say this, and I know that Bob Keys, who you know as well, he'll get a good chuckle out of this, but I often put your excitement and your way of life and what you bring to the table on the same level as Bob, like always happy, cheerful, always willing to put your best foot forward. I can't help but I often, when I think of Bob, I'll think of you too, like in that same light. It's just funny to me that way.
Wow, that, I mean, highest compliment. We love Bob.
I do too. I think so. You know, he's a sponsor on this show. He has been a huge supporter of Chris and I and Keep You Talking to Maritimes, and I just think so highly of him. Now, I want to talk a little bit about your convention, and of course, with QP National President Mark Hancock and Secretary Treasurer Candace Rennick being there, being a part of this, what is the atmosphere for you from your side when such high individuals as themselves are there to bask in your glory and be proud of you and enjoy your moment. Like, what is that like for you from that standpoint?
Well, we love hosting the national officers on the island. Like, we're literally East Coast, and Mark's coming all the way from the West Coast, and Candace is, you know, crisscrossing the country all the time, so it's not always easy to get to the island. So when they are able to come, we really appreciate that opportunity and love showing off our, you know, our convention and connecting them with the kind of smaller region that, you know, as you know, we've got so many different divisions across the country. So, yeah, we love having them. We love that they make the effort to come. So having them at our convention this year, Candace was there for the first day, and Mark was able to come at the end. His son was graduating from university, and he literally flew overnight, landed at lunchtime, and came direct to our convention to give our concluding remarks and swear in the new executive. So, you know, we appreciate that the national officers make that effort to come and speak with our delegates and hear firsthand, like, what's going on in our region, because, yeah, we're small but mighty, and it's, you know, it's a good chance for us to catch their ear, and it's a very, you know, kind of intimate setting. We've got 100 delegates in the room. And, you know, if you want to chat with them, you get that opportunity, whereas, like, at national conventions, 3,000 people in the room, it's less. So, yeah, it's awesome. It's great to have them there. It's great to feel seen by our national union and feel supported, because we know that we are with all of the campaigns and the funding and those kinds of things, but to have the personal touch, we love that.
Yeah, I don't blame you at all. I had the pleasure of meeting them both at QP New Brunswick, our convention, and I just felt so honored and privileged to meet them, being that I really look up to not only them as people, but as what they do for the union, activists, president, national officers. Like, so to meet them personally and chat with them, it's a real eye-opener, and it brings more joy, excitement into the future, and wanting to be a bigger activist and stand up for everything that is right here.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You get to meet them as real people and, you know, hear their jokes and see their sassiness, and you're like, okay, these people are humans who are in it for the right reasons, and they're here to support us. They're not just these, you know, national officers on a poster. They're humans who are here to help and support us in every single way. So,
absolutely. What is the plan moving forward for QPPEI? You guys have a lot of obstacles in your way. We talk about conservative governments.
Uh-huh.
Where are you at as far as a plan, an agenda for your for the coming months into the next year?
Yeah, it's ongoing. It's some of the classic things, and we know that we'll always hit, you know, new obstacles as things change. But for us, The key things we're going to continue working on are, you know, political action. We have by-elections that are coming up. I don't know if you know this, but three of the political parties on Prince Edward Island, the three that have seats in the legislature, none of them have permanent leaders. So we've got interim leader, who is our premier, an interim liberal, and an interim green leader. So we're going to get new full-time leaders in all of the political parties in the next couple of months. We've got two by-elections that are coming up in the next couple of months. They have to be called by August. And as you know, our members have been struggling with bargaining. Like, our bargaining power and the limitations on our right to strike has been a huge issue across sectors, education, healthcare, emergency services. Those are all places that we feel we're not being heard, and we don't have, you know, those kinds of push points that we would want to have. So when the elections come up, we're hoping to take our ongoing campaigns about bargaining and our right to strike and those kinds of things and use them as ballot box issues. We saw in New Brunswick when you made ballot box issues that, you know, the lunchbox to the ballot box, kind of your mantra, and you were successful in making change in your province. We know the best way to make change at the bargaining table is to make sure that the people who we're bargaining with, aka the government, that they know what our concerns are, that they know that we can create that public pressure. So they kind of all, you know, tie together. The bargaining piece, the political action piece, and ongoing struggles with privatization that we're experiencing. So hopefully we'll create pressure, we'll get the elected leadership to make better decisions about funding. that'll better affect our conditions of work so that we can bargain to really improve the members' working conditions and wages, which is ultimately what we're here to do.
Well, I'm going to challenge the government right now in QPE and all over, and especially PEI. I am challenging that government for a government who says, well, we just want what's best for the workers. We're not anti-union, we're pro-union. Well, if you're pro-union, show it by allowing people, when things aren't right, that they too can take a stand and have a strike and fight for what's right. Because if you're doing what's right, then you shouldn't have any problem if that is what needs to happen to get it fixed. So,
exactly.
Just saying, I'll leave that here and let the people listen to that, and hopefully somebody within the government will hear that. And, you know, it's a challenge that I think should be accepted all over the country by every government, because everywhere you turn, you know, we're constantly fighting, and we're not fighting for anything that is wrong, disrespectful. We fight for everything that is right, and we respect our workers, and we respect workers across Canada.
Exactly. At our convention, we had a rally. We walked from the convention hall down to the government offices. The legislature had closed, so they should have all been back in their offices, you know, back to work. And that was the message that we brought to them, was like, listen, we're here. We're your constituents. We're the people who vote for you.
That's
like,
right.
You need to take care of us. Why wouldn't you want to take care of us? Like, you take care of us because that's your job. Like, come to the bargaining table, come to the conversation in a truly participatory, meaningful way, and we will give you the solutions that you need. Like, we want the government to succeed. Like, that is it. We want the government to do a good job, because when they're doing a good job, we benefit. So it doesn't have to be adversarial. It really can be, collaborative and cooperative, but that's all we want. And we'll just keep saying that until they listen to us.
And at the end of the day, when they do what they're supposed to and everything is working right, then they're going to get reelected. And that's how it should be. But
right.
The fact that they're not tells me it's time to go to that ballot box, and it is time to make a change for the better, a change for the people in Prince Edward Island and QP members all across Prince Edward Island, because you guys deserve better. You guys deserve respect and dignity, and I certainly hope you find it.
100%. Thank you.
You're very welcome. Now, I do just really quickly want to touch on your team. Your team moving forward. How excited are you that your team is together? You've got a good team. How much better does that make things for you as president when you've got the right people in place?
Oh, like, I'm so lucky to have the people that I've been working with on the QPPEI board for the last 2 years, and we've had a couple of changes moving forward for the next 2 years, but a lot of the same faces, and even the new folks that, you know, I'm familiar with, so we have those working relationships already. We're a good team, and we're gonna have our first meetings in July. As a new board, you know, we're already going to be emailing and starting some of the background work, but yeah, it's a whole other experience when you have a good team that has a good heart and, you know, their head on their shoulders and willing to work hard, which that's my board. So I'm pumped, to work with them and set our priorities, like you just mentioned, to the national officers. We already know our funding for the year. We know what the strategic directions are. We've got all of those pieces, so now it'll be like taking this really awesome group of people and saying, what do we want to do moving forward? This is what we've done. What are our successes? How can we build on them? Where are our gaps? How can we kind of address those? And I think we have the right team of people to do that moving forward.
Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Yeah, it's a really cool mix of like experience and institutional knowledge, and then some people who have been active in the union, like, you know, their faces from different events, from educationals, from conventions, from conferences, that are now stepping up and taking that leadership role. So it's really cool to see that transformation or that progression of people's union journey, and having them join us and bring those perspectives to the board. I'm really excited.
I love that. And how are things? Have you had conversations with Iris Lloyd, our new QP New Brunswick president?
But of course, yes. Yeah, no, I had a phone call with Iris. Well, I was there for her election, so that was exciting. And then we had a quick, you know, little Zoom call, chit chat about some of the things that we're working on and, you know, some of the strategies that have worked for us in the region and, you know, what to expect with the National Executive Board from a maritime perspective and those kinds of things. So I really enjoyed the chance to chat with her. And then she came over to my convention as well, which, you know, it was super busy and I didn't get to talk to her a whole bunch, but it was really lovely to have her support there. And she brought over some maple candy from New Brunswick that she shared with our delegates. So yeah, starting that relationship off on the right foot for sure. And we had a very cool opportunity where, for a couple of days, we had four women presidents in the Maritime Atlantic region, all four of our provinces, Newfoundland, Labrador, Nova Scotia, New Brunswick, and Prince Edward Island, all had women presidents, and we got a nice picture, and it was really cool. So I'm happy that we had that opportunity to share that moment all together, and I'm really excited to work with Iris as Maritime Sister Provinces and now Sisters in Leadership. It's going to be great.
I love that. Sisters in Leadership. And you know what? We couldn't be prouder to not only have Iris Lloyd as our president, but have you as QP PEI president. Ashley, I can't thank you enough for sitting down and having a conversation with me on a Sunday.
You are too kind, Nick. Thank you very much for having me.
I hope we talk soon.
We will. Take care.
You too.
See, like, that was a good interview. And I say that because it was me that did the interview. It was great. It was like a home run, like you playing baseball. Do you ever hit
Absolutely.
A home run?
I'm hoping to hit one tonight. I got a game at 9 o'clock.
Perfect. Good luck. You got this. I want to personally thank the newly elected QPPEI president, Ashley Clark, sitting down on a Sunday to do it. We had a great conversation, as you guys heard, very, very proud of the labor movement and what she is able to put together over in PEI. Of course, talking about her executives and the work they do and how, you know, a lot of people will get things confused, right? They tend to think it's all one person that does it, but it's not. It's a group of people, it's a group effort to put all this stuff together. Chris, I think you better than anyone coming out of the Federation of Labor Convention, you could certainly say a thing or two just about that.
Yeah, no, you're right. It's, you know, it's ultimately the executive that is the driving force, right? You know, you're elected as the leader, but it's the whole team that mobilizes around you that makes everything strong. And, you know, my hat's off over there to the QPPEI team and that executive. They get a very strong executive. And again, congratulations to Ashley on being reelected into her position. You know, that just shows that the members trust her and that she's doing a good job. So I couldn't be more thrilled to have her back into that position so that we can get these awesome interviews at QP Talk here in the Maritimes.
That's right, brother. I couldn't agree more. I really couldn't. Great interview. Thank you, Ashley. I look forward to our conversation in the near future. Speaking of near futures, the big announcement, the press release that came out last month, a lot of changes coming to QP Talk, Chris. You excited?
I'm ecstatic. I can't wait. I think it's going to be exciting on, I'll say, the expansion of QP Talk in the Maritimes.
I think that's fair. The expansion, absolutely. Longer shows. A producer, hats off, Mr. Brian Watson on basically, you know, taking the lead on that and going to be our brand new producer, which is going to be amazing. And it's going to be so beneficial for us to be able to fully concentrate when doing these interviews, that I couldn't be more thankful. And why don't you tell us the next one?
Which one? Our sponsor person?
Yes.
Ooh, you mean Wes Wills?
Wes Wills.
Oh yeah. No, see, we're building ourselves a team, right? Is what we're doing.
We sure are.
Right? It's just like an executive. We're building ourselves a team of great people that are going to help move this show into the next spot. Like we're taking it forward, right? It's neat how we took something, ran with it, and now it's growing. So like Nick said, you know, we're going to have different segments on there. We're going to have lots more conversation on different things, lots more interviews. This is basically like your one-stop shop newsletter for all locals, and for all communications,
like
not only here in New Brunswick, but you know, we're expanding outside, you know, we're going to Prince Edward Island. We're here in New Brunswick. We're talking about nationals. We're going to be talking about coalitions. Like we are going to be talking everything to do with the labor movement. And it's going to be awesome.
It's long overdue because there aren't a lot of shows like this out there. And between you and I, I could be wrong, but I really do believe there's only a couple, max, maybe three, four. But like we are really trying to hit this. We are literally riding on all cylinders right now, and everything is connecting. While welcoming Brian Watson, Wesley Wills, we're going to be giving an entirely new platform. And, of course, my meeting with Bob Keys the other day on a longer sponsorship deal and, of course, Chart Out Designs. Like, we are really rocking, and we are literally firing on all cylinders right now, Chris.
100%. 100%. And, you know, as the summer goes on, there's going to be all kinds of events happening. You know, we're going to be there, hopefully, at a lot of them. And, you know, we'll be doing some interviews and some recordings and stuff like that, too. So, you know, keep an eye out for us. I know we get sweaters, but maybe we'll have to get ourselves some T-shirts because, it is summertime. I know you don't look like you're really tanned right now because of the sunlight, but I know you went away to the Cayman Islands, so I know you got a tan.
Boy, did I ever. Did I ever. Now, that's enough about me. Let's talk about you. No, I'm just kidding. I'm joking. We have to get to the Iris Lloyd interview, of course, the newly elected QB New Brunswick president, because our show's a half an hour long. People are probably like, that's, you know, I'm going to say it, BS. There's no way that show's a half an hour long. But it's supposed to be. But, Chris, what do you say? We show a little bit of Chart Oak Designs, and then we hit to the finale, if you will.
Yeah, let's roll it. New Brunswick Federation. Newly elected people.
You said it was going to be a newly elected night.
Just ordered one of those elbows up Canada signs.
Don't even worry about it. Here, you can have mine.
Hey, you already got one.
I did.
Yeah. That's cool. Thanks.
I can get another one.
Thanks.
There's a great local business right here in St. John, New Brunswick that I can get them at. Chart Oak Design. Find them on Facebook. Personalized gifts. They make just about anything.
Anything?
Absolutely. Send them an email. info@chartoak.ca, or you can give them a call. 506-343-0454. And remember, it's extremely important to support local businesses.
This is awesome. Thank you.
No problem. Enjoy.
And we are so lucky and honored to be chatting with the brand new QB New Brunswick president, the one and only Iris Lloyd. Iris, welcome to our show.
Thanks, Nick and Chris. Thanks for having me on.
There is so much to talk about and so little time, and I know how busy you are, so I'm just going to get right to it with huge convention, obviously coming out, the new QB New Brunswick president. Big shoes to fill. You're always up for the challenge. What is going through your mind these days?
Woo, thanks for the question, Nick. There's a lot going through my mind. You know, I look at the locals that still have their contracts left yet to settle. We still got a few of those. So keeping close tabs with those locals to make sure they need any support from the division, that we're right there and willing to help them. Now we're kind of rolling into our summer events. So the division is getting ready to organize some of our own summer events, along with the Labor Day events. We're going to be part of the Labor Day events in Moncton and in Dalhousie this year. We're going to take part, Nick, in some of the pride parades that are happening around the province, St. John, Bathurst, Fredericton, and Moncton. So we're going to get a bit around this summer and try to connect with our members and, like I said, hold community events in some of the areas that may not usually see the division president. So it's going to be a fun summer.
Awesome. Now, thinking about Iris, I know you and I have kind of grown up in the labor movement here together, but just take us through a rundown of the activism and the different roles and responsibilities you've had over the years, because I know the list is quite extensive. I know if we were to spell it out, it would probably take up more than a page. So just give us a rundown of all the different things that you've done over the years.
Thanks, Chris. This is actually a good conversation to have, because one of the things the division is going to be working on this year is how to mobilize and activate our young workers and really bring them into our union. So this is actually a good conversation to have. I remember it was back in early 2010 when I met Chris. We were both young workers at that time, brand new to St. John High School. And the two of us kind of looked at each other that night at supper and said, "Hey, you want to go to our first union meeting together?" So that kind of hooked us right from the start, right? The two of us went there together. And that year, actually, that December, they were holding elections. And, you know, they kind of looked at Chris and I and said, "Would you guys be interested in sitting on the St. John District Labor Council?" And, of course, Chris and I do not say no, right? We're active in our union. We want to know more. We knew we needed to know more, and we wanted to get ourselves educated. So Chris and I joined the St. John District Labor Council. And from there on, our activism really started. You saw Chris take, you know, a different path than I took. Now as the president of the Federation of Labor, I am now the division president of CUPE New Brunswick. But it took us a long path to get there, right? We started early. We got active in our labor councils. We held our first ever young workers conference through the Federation of Labor. We got active, and we really volunteered wherever we could to try to make a difference on behalf of the workers here in New Brunswick and learn as much as we can. I remember in those early days, Chris and I were like sponges, you know, like we were learning the union way, but at the same time, trying to find a way for the young worker to be able to have a voice as well and really learn how to grow from that, really to become leaders that we are today. So, you know, I've done a lot. I've done a lot of facilitating with Chris. You know, we've attended a lot of the same courses together. We've done a lot of the same things together. You know, we've done our first rallies together. You know, so we've done quite a bit in, you know, the 13 years that we started. But it's easy for a young worker. Just go out. Go to a meeting. You know, unions are looking for young workers now to become more active now more than ever. There will be a place for you in your union. And it's just to go out and have fun with it and just go from there.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. I think about now going down to support our CUPW siblings on the picket lines, and then they were legislated back to work. But with the potential strike again, you know, I know that we'll be down there. But I remember that was one of our first rallies, and we were sitting there as newbies, right, as young workers, saying, "Hey, do you want to go down and go to this picket line before work?" And I remember going down to that picket line and being nervous as heck. But, you know, talking to the members on the picket line, they couldn't be more appreciative of us going out and supporting. So, you know, even though we were kind of out of our elements and everything at that time, like you said, just like sponges wanting to get more and more involved, you know, so when we're talking about our young workers getting that push to get involved, absolutely go to a rally, go to information pickets, do whatever you need to do just to kind of get the feel for it. Get out there and just do it.
Yeah, I remember the two of us looking at each other and we're like, okay, we're going to block traffic. let's block traffic. Nobody in, nobody out. And off we went. And it kind of just grew from there, really. It was fun. We learned a lot. We met new people, you know, people with the same issues that we have that may work in different places. And, you know, we got to realize how big the labor movement is. And really, it's like one big family. It doesn't matter what union you come from. We all support each other.
That's right.
I think it's really neat how you two have come full circle, being the leaders that you are now, talking 13 years ago, hey, let's go to our first rally. Hey, let's get involved. Let's do the St. John District Labor Council. And now, you know, we have one who is leading the province for QB, and we have one who's leading the province with the Federation of Labor. I mean, can you come more full circle than that, really?
No, you're right. And it just goes to show, I mean, you know, hard work and activism and just getting involved, and you can make that difference, right? Where you wanted to start so long ago, make a difference in yourself, now you're doing it on a much larger scale and doing it for everyone.
Now, Iris, with everything going on with CPW, and obviously your agenda is so packed, how do you pull this off? How do you manage? You're always go. You are one of the biggest go-getters I know. And I mean that in the most complimentary way. How do you pull it off? How do you do it?
Honestly, Nick, I have an amazing team of presidents behind me. Like, my board, the QP New Brunswick Division Board, is full of probably the best of the best leaders that, you know, could be offered here in the province. I think about the ones that sit around that table and how they fight for issues, and not just QP issues, not just issues that affect our members, but we look for things that we can help actually the province, help the workers that are not unionized. You know, look at that. You know, we work a lot with our coalitions, and I couldn't do it without my division and, you know, my inner executive, Sharon, Kim, and Serge, you know, and the regional director that we have in Sandy Harding. We all work together as a team. And I think as a team, that's how we take on the issues that are happening. You know, Nick, I think back now, currently, what's going on with QP Local 2745 and the cuts to their library workers. You know, QP 2745 is doing everything they can to try to get those cuts reversed. But, you know, an injury to one is an injury to all, Nick. So all 30,000 QP members are out there looking to support those QP 2745 members and those library workers that are now sitting at home thinking, do I have a job to go back to? And that affects all of us. So, you know, I give support and solidarity to Teresa McAllister and her executive at 2745 and those library workers that right now are just worrying about whether they're going to lose a job or not. You know, it's those kind of things, Nick, that keep you up at night. It's those QP members that are worrying, where will these cuts hit next? And will it affect us? And how do we support the members that are going through something like this?
Yeah, you're right, Iris. And it's the same thing on the Federation level. You know, 30,000 QP members across this province support all the workers as they face all these cuts. And it's the same with the Federation, right? And on the 40,000 workers that we represent too, we are in full support of QP 2745 and as they fight this battle too. So, you know, if the people that are listening from 2745, just know that your fight you're not doing it alone. You're doing it with labor support, you know, with QP and every other organization, as labor does across this province.
Solidarity, Chris, and thank you.
100%. Absolutely. And talking about coalitions, because, you know, we can't say no, like Iris said, congratulations on your new appointment on the weekend, because we don't take time off at the NDP convention. Newly elected Zone 4 representative for St. John, so congratulations to you.
Thank you, Chris. I'm glad you brought that up. you know, I just felt like as a QP member, you know, our party that we support, we are a partisan union and we do support the NDP. And I felt that as the leader, I needed to go out and show the NDP Labor support and really try to get our members into volunteering for the NDP, doing what it's going to take. You know, quite honestly, Chris, that federal election and, you know, not to get too deep into the politics of things, but it was quite scary. And I want to make sure that we've got workers, you know, that are sitting in Parliament, workers that are sitting, you know, in the New Brunswick legislature, that those people are working on behalf of our members, on behalf of all the workers across the country and in the province. And I thought, what better way to spend my volunteer time than working with the NDP party and, you know, trying to rebuild that party in the province of New Brunswick.
Yeah, you're right. And that's one of the things we always say. We need people to step up and to make change. And I'm proud of you for standing up, you know, to be the leader of that change here in the St. John area. And, you know, the Federation of Labor will be doing the same thing. I know Nick has expressed interest about running for provincial politics. He's looking at me like, what? No. But, you know, you never know, Nick. There could be a day. Don't say no. Could be you.
Well, I won't say no. I won't say no, but I'm super interested in what I'm doing right now. I'm going to tell you that right now. I love it very much. One thing I want to say, Iris, because I feel like this has been such a glorious last few weeks, is Bill 17 is gone.
Oof. Yes, Bill 17. So for those of you that don't know, Bill 17 was a bill that got thrown on three different QP unions. That was QP 1253, QP 2745, and the New Brunswick Council of Nursing Home Unions. And yes, this bill was a bill that affected our pensions, but really what it took away was our voice and free collective bargaining for not just the three locals. That potentially, just like Chris says with this 40,000 workers, that could potentially impact all of us. If governments are able to just impose bills that take away our rights to free collective bargaining. So it was monumental, quite honestly, that the Liberal Premier Holt lived up to, you know, their words and actually did what was right for 30,000 potentially QP workers and 40,000 unionized workers across this province. It's a big deal. It's a big win. Yes, those locals are going to go back in, and now they are going to bargain their pension plans. But to have a government, Nick, that actually is good on the word that they keep their word, it's a good win for us.
Yeah, you're right, Iris. And you know, we spent many a days up there. And like Iris said earlier, you know, we've done a lot together. We were previously previous provincial president for QP 1253, and myself as a regional vice president and on council with you. We spent many a days up there listening to, you know, the anti-union. I don't want to say, I know what I want to say, but that's not politically correct. But anyway, sitting there listening to Higgs and the lies coming, you know, from the floor about that. And, you know, we sat there for a week or more on end up in that legislature and listened to it and trying to fight back against this bill. And like you said, to see a government now to repeal that bill is a huge win. It's a huge win for labor in this province. Some people might have heard it as Bill 12, which is a bill to amend Bill 17. I know one person tried to have a conversation with one of the MLAs, and she was quite adamant to correct the person. Oh, you mean Bill 12? And it's like, you know exactly what we're talking about. Don't try to sugarcoat it or twist it any way you want. You're just upset because it's being taken away. But huge win, like you said. You know, when a government comes in and uses that legislative pen and tries to take away the collective bargaining process, you know, shame on them. So. You know, kudos for this victory. I mean, it's something definitely we need to celebrate.
Yeah, thank you, Chris, for that. You know, this it would easy to say that it was a Higgs era, you know, because it was. But you and I were there at the legislature when it got finally got its third reading and it got repealed. And some of the things that were being said out of the conservatives was quite insulting. You know, like the fact that they thought that the leaders of these three groups wouldn't have done their homework on pension plans and what it meant to their members, and that, you know, it really just shows us that those conservatives that are still MLAs, that they really need to do their homework when it comes to these pension plans and what it means for QP members across this province. Because some of the things that they were saying was quite insulting, that, you know, that our members wouldn't know what was good, or that, you know, we would try to do something that would affect thousands of other people. You know, that wasn't part of this at all. This was about free collective bargaining. And it's really sad that the conservatives still have not seen it as what it is.
No, that's right. Most notably, I know even when it was going to the third reading, there was a motion to try to send it to Laws and Amendments Committee to have discussion even. Thankfully, that was defeated as well. So, I mean, they're just grasping on straws with this. And I mean, we know right from the get-go that it was a union-busting bill and everything else, right? So I remember we organized, and that's what we do, right? We organize, and that's when we're talking about for people to come out to different things. We organized. We even went to the Labor Minister's office, Arlene Dunn at the time, and we called for her resignation to say that she wasn't representing labor fairly. And what happened? She resigned.
She did. You're absolutely right, Chris.
So that's what happens, you know, when we show people, just like the chant says, you know, this is what democracy looks like. And this is what democracy looks like. We were able to do that. We were able to get rid of the bill. And, you know, it just kind of shows that when government comes and tries to attack us, that we mobilize, we organize, and we put the boots to the ground, and we're not afraid to stand up for what we feel is right.
Hear, hear, Chris.
Well said, Chris. Well said. Now, one thing I do want to talk about is Labor Day and the importance of it. And I know it's a few months away, but let's be honest, it takes a few months to plan it because it is a huge day. And I'm just wondering, from your standpoint, Iris, what Labor Day means to you as an individual, and then, of course, what it means for you to make sure that Labor Day is a huge success for everyone.
Thanks, Nick. That's a good question, because that's probably something that very early on, Chris and I both have had very active parts, at least in St. John, getting the Labor Day events going, as Chris and I both sat as Labor Council presidents before. It would have been both of our responsibility to organize that event in our city. You see, Nick, a lot of the Labor Councils, and that's probably where Chris is better to talk about, where they organize to have these Labor Day events. But I think they're very important. That's our day. It's our day to be able to come out and celebrate our victories. And, you know, more and more, I hope that we see QP members, all unionized members, support their Labor Councils around the province and come out to those Labor Day events. They're a good time, and it's a good time to be able to talk to the other unions, your coworkers, and just relax and think about the day and think about that it's your day, and that, you know, workers have fought hard in the past to get us this day, and it's a good day to celebrate.
You're right. And like you said, people have fought hard. You know, there's been people that have even died, you know, to bring us advancements in the labor movement. And you're right, it's our day, and it's a day to be celebrated, and I can't wait for it, because I think this year it's going to be a little bit bigger and a little bit better. Every year we want to grow it more and more. But Iris, I know you're busy, so we're going to wrap it up here today. I want to thank you for just, you know, sitting down here with QP Talking the Maritimes, Chris and Nick. What is it, 4:27? We got meetings tonight to go to. We got New Brunswick Health Coalitions, which we're going to do a piece here on QP Talking the Maritimes. We're going to talk all about our coalitions. So you're going to understand that when we go to conventions and we pass resolutions to support all these different groups, we're going to give you a rundown on what these groups are and what they do. So again, on behalf of QP Talking the Maritimes, Iris, thank you very much. And I'm sure, well, I'll see you tonight, but I'm sure everybody else here in the province will see you real soon.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone, for listening. And thank you, Nick and Chris, for having me on. It was a great interview. Thanks, guys.
Thank you. What a great interview that was. So honored again to sit down and pick the brain of the newly elected QB New Brunswick President Iris Lloyd. Chris, what did you think of that?
Yeah, no, great interview. And, you know, thankful, you know, that these leaders take the time out to, you know, to give us those interviews. We know that they lead, you know, very busy lives. It's meetings, meetings, meetings. My phone's going off with reminders of meetings this evening right now. So I'm just very thankful that they were able to take the time out, you know, to address the membership so that they're aware of who they are. And, you know, it's just very important. And but great interview. You know, Iris is obviously a personal friend. We started in the labor movement at the same time, and we worked together through labor councils, local executives, provincial councils. Iris sits on the executive board for the Federation. So we've worked together so much in all these different groups that I just couldn't be more proud to be able to have her here on that show.
It was a great interview, and you know, it went just the way I knew it would. I'll call it. It was a 5-star. Very happy with tonight's show. Very happy with the direction of our show, Keep You Talking to Maritimes. And, well, I mean, I don't want to put you on the spot. It's been a while. I know you probably don't have one, but what are the odds you would have a quote nearby?
Well, I'm thinking about Bill 17, a.k.a. Bill 12 now, and about how that went down. So the quote that I have is, where there is unity, there is always victory. All right. On behalf of Nick and Chris at QP Talk here in the Maritimes, we want to say thank you, and we'll see you next week. Solidarity, my friends.